As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, Christmas Eve, December the 24th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for each and every day. We're going to work through some interesting facts and tidbits from history today. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone. But you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular. We pick old scabs here and stir up old wounds from time to time as well. But you're definitely in the place where we think that freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air, and from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. I've been getting a lot of very interesting email lately at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. Always look forward to that. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647, P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. I thank you for the cards and letters that I've received in the last couple of days. Went up to the post box yesterday. Thank you very much for remembering old Will over here in Missouri. Once again, big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM Lompoc, California, and AM 1710. Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Always do appreciate your support as well. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome throughout the broadcast. Precious metals traverse a narrow band moving into the holiday week and weekend. We'll talk about that briefly in our market report. Christmas, what is the reason for the season? We'll talk about that as well today. Copybooks, notes from one of my own. Go into that. Of course, we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast. Let's go into our market report out of New York City. Active trading New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, found gold trading up this morning. Yes, the spot market is open. The gold trading up this morning, $4.90 to $1,384.40 a troy ounce. Silver off 6 cents at $29.22. Platinum up a buck at $1,713 an ounce. Palladium off $2 at 751 buckaroonies. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, 1378.70 for a low, 1386.80 for a high. Relatively narrow band there. Things are quieting down a bit for the holidays. But at 1384.40, your gold is up $297.30 year to year for a 27.35% return on your investment. The London gold fix this morning, there won't be an afternoon price fixing, but there will be a morning price fixing, and the boys in London, the London Bullion Market Association, set the price for gold today at $1,380.50, and it's trading $4 above that. The SPDR gold shares overnight peeled off another 3.65 metric tons from their electronic treasure chest. They claim this morning to be holding 1,284.97 metric tons in there, valued on the street at $57 billion. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, December the 24th. This is Christmas Eve, 2010, two-hour live broadcast of Become Vocal Local right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, you can log in and join our chat room this morning at becomevocallocal.com, vocallocal.com. Just click on the chat room link there, and you can pop into the chat room and join the Merry Chatters, getting ready for the holiday weekend. Let's close out our market report for this morning again, where we see our tree decorated with gold and silver and platinum and palladium, and things are doing relatively well in the market. Up the gold market this morning, spot market. Spot market is open today. Most of the other markets are closed, however. But the gold spot market, silver, platinum, palladium, the precious metals, it's open today. Gold was up $4.90 at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time at $1,384.40 an ounce. Silver was off 6 cents at $29.22. So you start hanging little gold balls and bows and stuff like that up wherever you do. I like to bury them in the ground myself, but you know, it's the prodigal son. Anyway, silver off 6 cents at $29.22, platinum up a buck at $17.13, and palladium up off $2 at $751 an ounce again. The SPDR gold shares overnight dropped out 3.65 metric tons, sold it into the market, profit taking, book squaring, and all the things that they talk about in econo world. Anyway, that's what they did. They're holding 1,284.97 metric tons right now in their treasure chest, they say. I'll bet they couldn't pass an audit, but that's what they claim. But anyway, they value it at $57 billion, basically, at these book gold bullion spot prices. yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 14 at 11,574. The NASDAQ closed down 6 yesterday at 2,666. Not much money they had to spend to get the numbers to play that way for them. Anyway, the standard no-so-very-poor 500 index closed yesterday down 2 at 1,257. This morning on the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s website, we find crude oil. They call it Brent crude. I call it crude oil. Very crude, no-so-very crude oil. Light, sweet crude as it is, up $1.03. We don't need that going into the holidays, that intensive driving season. Up $1.03. At $91.41 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. So you take 91.41 divided by 42, and that's your bare-bones basic price for crude oil. You can imagine why. Gasoline at the pump is over $3. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 6 basis points at 80.44. And in the foreign exchange market, we see the Canadian loonie up 24 basis points this morning at 99 cents U.S., once again nearing parity with the U.S. dollar. The Mexican peso up 16 basis points if you're going down to Juarez or someplace this morning and you want to exchange your U.S. dollars for pesos, you can get 12.3378 pesos per buck. They're 8 cents a pop. Fill up your pockets while they're hot. The euro this morning up 3 basis points at $1.31. The British pound off up 4 at $1.54. And the Swiss franc off 36 cents yet. Still, exchanges against the U.S. dollar at $1.04. And for all those that follow the gold-to-silver ratio, 47.38 ounces of silver gets you 1 ounce of gold. You know, yesterday during the broadcast early on, we had a call from a friend out in Seattle, one of our listeners, and wanted to know whether I was going to do my Christmas story. Well, I went in and I got to just kind of back up a little bit and say it this way. I used to do a lot of research prior to the internet out of books. And in the process of working out of books, as I still do today, in the process, what I did was I developed a system of creating copy books. Okay, copy books. It's an old terminology, something I discovered with my research from years ago. But when people would go to college, whether they were at Oxford, Christchurch, or wherever they happened to be in school, all the way back into the medieval times and earlier than that, because textbooks and books in general were exceedingly valuable, and very few people had a library of their own. When you went to school, you didn't get a textbook, but you got a horn and you sat down and you listened with every ounce of your, you know, every fiber of your being to your instructor, and you took notes copiously. And when you went to a library, if there was a library of any kind available to you, you would sit and you would very carefully and copy important information and quotations and citations, etc., into what would be known as your copy book. And so over the years, I have developed copy books of my own. And prior to the internet, the last computer that I had for many years was a Packard Bell 386. Okay, it's not much of a computer today, but it was one of the faster computers that you could get for a PC. In the day that I acquired mine, the only one trumping it at that time was a 486. So anyway, that particular computer doesn't know how to talk to the internet, and that computer runs so slow that it would be crazy to even try it on these high-speed connections today, but it was very capable as a word processor. Unfortunately, it didn't know anything at all about CD drives. You could do a tape backup if you wanted of the information, but everything was done and kept on a floppy disk. And so I've got lots and lots of floppy disks, but I have a computer that's as old as the dirt that has an internal battery that caved in years ago, just about the year 2000. That battery went upside down. And so in order to resurrect that computer from time to time, I have to go through a process of telling it what it is. It thinks it might think it's a toaster, or maybe you think it's a microwave, but you have to tell it what it is and get it all started. Long story short, in order to access some of those early writings, it takes quite a bit of work. So, no, I'm not going to do the Christmas story that I prepared back in 2005. Actually, it was written earlier than that. But what I will do is I'll share with you a variety of information from just some of the material that's here at hand. In today's day, you really don't need to have, you know, this kind of stuff laid out for you the way that I do. It just went up on the internet this morning, and typed in a couple of Boolean searches, and it's just overloaded. I mean, it's overwhelming, the amount of information that you can get on the Internet. I know we do have some listeners listening on the radio, conventional radio, terrestrial radio, but for all the people that are hooked into the Internet, you don't need these sort of things that we used to do in early shortwave radio, bringing out certain truths that you just had never heard before. I mean, you just can't believe the difference if you're new to this. You just won't believe the difference between shortwave radio in the late 1980s and early 1990s versus today. I mean, it was just like, aha, you heard this stuff on shortwave, and you, my goodness, you just couldn't believe it. It shattered paradigms. Well, so there's no reason to go into great detail, things that you can find on your own, but I've got a 1951 set of the Encyclopedia Americana here, right in front of me, and I'm just going to give you just a little tidbit about what would be considered Christmas, a definitional statement of Christmas in an encyclopedia published in the 1950s, okay? And you've got to understand that encyclopedias and sources, no better than, as we learned studying legal research, Deborah Bouchot's book, this is considered secondary sources. Encyclopedias and encyclopedias are very good places to go. They're points of jump off, they're points of departure. They can get you onto the plate, but they can also lead you into error. And so you have to have extreme discernment. You've got to have your antennas run up all the time. But this is what they say in the encyclopedia, and we're going to go to a break here in just a few seconds. So I guess when we come back from the break, we'll go into this encyclopedia thing. But you've just got to pick and choose very, very carefully. There are many agendas at work. Just as strong an agenda to support Christianity as there is to destroy it. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So returning again and diving into this encyclopedia study here, the American Encyclopedia Americana, published back in the 1950s, 1951 to be precise, volume 6, looking up Christmas. Okay, let's just find a little bit. It's only a couple of paragraphs long. It's actually two long paragraphs. Christmas, derived from the medieval Christus Massus, or Christ's Mass, the Mass of Christ. The feast commemorating the birth of Jesus, observed by the Christian Church annually on the 25th of December. There's a lot of trouble right there, okay? But this is the Mass that was observed by the Christian Church on the 25th of December. It was, according to many authorities, not celebrated in the first centuries of the Christian Church, and that should be underlined, highlighted, all right? And understand this very well. As the Christian usage in general was to celebrate the death of remarkable persons rather than their birth. So celebrating the birth of somebody was pretty unusual, to say the least. All right, but they kind of needed this thing. They needed this particularly holy day in order to make their story work out for them, and so they did. The death of the martyr Stephen and the massacre of the innocents at Bethlehem had already long been celebrated when perhaps in opposition to the doctrine of the Manichaeans. Now, that's something that you look up as well. Right? We're going to go through this process. But what you do with the best use you can make of an encyclopedia like a dictionary is to get clues. All right. Now, if you don't know who the Manichaeans are right off the bat, there's another article in the encyclopedia you could go look up. If you don't know who the martyr Stephen is, that's another something that you could go look up. If you don't understand what the Christian Church is about, you could go look that one up. If you don't know what the Mass of Christ is, it's available in the encyclopedias as well. All right? So it continues here. The Manichaeans respecting the birth of the Savior. A feast was established in the memory of this event in the 4th century. If you don't understand the feasts and all the feasts in the church calendar, these also are things that you can look up in a competent, good quality encyclopedia, which these days you can almost get for nothing at flea markets and yard sales and things like that. People don't bother with these old books anymore. In the 5th century of the Western Church, ordered it to be celebrated forever on the day of the old Roman feast of the birth of Sol. And Sol is in our chat room this morning. Good morning, Sol. On the birth of Sol. Of course, they don't go on then and tell you who the soul is, and they don't tell you, discuss anything about the old Roman feast, but it's here. Among the German and Celtic tribes, the winter solstice was considered an important point of the year. And, of course, now for this, you can go back and listen to the talk that we did on November the 11th and listen to the discussion that we had in regards to Halloween, All Saints Eve. All of this is the same. It's all tied up in this Celtic Druidism and various and sundry Germanic and Nordic peoples stuff, okay? And there was only one way to get these people to come on board with the Roman Catholic Church, and it was either convert or die. It's an old thing with the Catholics, you know, convert or die. In fact, it brings us right into this time period as well. We're seeing the same thing even today in Afghanistan and Iraq. But let's continue. Among the German and Celtic tribes, the winter solstice was considered an important point of the year, and they held their chief festival of Yule to commemorate the return of the burning wheel. The return of the burning wheel. All right? And everybody celebrating the return of the burning wheel tomorrow? The holly, the mistletoe, the Yule log, and the wassail bowl are relics of the pre-Christian times. Of course, the holly and the mistletoe, that's interesting stuff. The mistletoe basically grows on the excrement of birds on branches, and it's considered if a mistletoe is growing in your area that you've got fertile trees. Continuing. In the East, Christmas was celebrated on January the 6th. The feast of the martyr of Stephen and the evangelist St. John were united with Christmas, and a feast of 3 days continuance was thus formed. And this, you know, kind of bundling, you know, economy, systems, theory, and all of that. They like to do that, you know, everything you can jam together in one place. In the ecclesiastical year, this festival gives name to a period extending from the first Sunday of Advent to the Feast of Epiphany on January the 6th. Most Christian churches celebrate this great festival in some way, and practically the entire community in Christian countries, including Jews and non-church-going people, nominally classed with the Christian populations, join in its social observance, you know, out of courtesy for nothing else. The custom of making presents at Christmas is derived from an ancient usage, but it has become consecrated by ages. It's from time out of mind, it's like the common law. But it has become consecrated by ages and contributes greatly to make this festival an interesting event to families. All right? We're going to cover that in a moment. The sending of Christmas cards by way of friendly greeting and remembrance has grown up since about 1860. Of course, it does help to have some postal service to send cards about. The couriers and things. The Christmas tree has been traced back to the Romans. It went from Germany to Great Britain and is almost universal in the United States, where customs of so many nationalities meet and gradually blend into common usage. But I can tell you, that Christmas tree and the Christmas holiday was hard won. It's not something that the people in the United States accepted easily. They really had to just about be forced into it by the merchants of Venice, if you know what I mean. Now let's find out about these exchange of gifts. Befana, Italian Befania, Epiphany, is a figure generally representing an old woman, which is exhibited in Italy on the day of Epiphany, by children or in shops where things for children are sold. It symbolizes the ancient woman of Palestine who, saying she would see them on their return, would not leave her household duties to view the three kings of the Orient passing on their way to bear their rich offerings to the infant Jesus. From mythos to mythos. All right. Unknown to Befana, they returned in a different direction, as she is supposed to be still fruitlessly waiting for them. Her influence watches over little children who, on the eve of Epiphany, hang their stockings before the hearth fire, go to bed early, and wait to hear the cry, Eccola Befana. Yeah. Domini Pasto, rigatoni, and matzo balls. When up they jump to find the presents awarded for good behavior during the past 12 months. A stocking full of ashes is the award for bad behavior. Of course, Nat King Cole is working his way towards that this morning. The parallel custom in the United States, Great Britain, Germany, and the Protestant communities generally is obviously the visit of Santa Claus, also known as Satan's Claus, but Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. In France, the children's étrennes, or gifts, are distributed on New Year's Eve in Russia on the 12th night, which is also the eve of Epiphany, and so on. Among the Jews, Hanukkah, the 8-day festival of dedication of the lights, commemorates the 25th of the month of Kislev. Children are rewarded and gifts are exchanged. At Purim, wow, there's something to discuss, the Feast of Esther, the 15th of Adar, March, a festival of mirth, rejoicing and masquerading, the Salamakans, a dish of sweetmeats, including hamantash, a sweet three-cornered seed cake, is sent to the homes and friends and relatives by the hands of servants or children who generally receive tips. Of course, they always receive tips, hands out those silver coins. The poor also, during this festival, are the recipients of generous charity. At Passover, which is the 14th of Nisan, April, which includes the fast of the firstborn and the festival of the unleavened bread, a piece of matzoch, or unleavened bread, is hidden, which it is the privilege of the youngest child to seek. When discovered, the finder can ask any favor or gift from the parent, which is granted. Wow. That's where they get the, can I have a horse for Christmas? I want a horse, I want a horse, I want a horse, I want a horse. Be right back.
Are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for 2 people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we can take a look at Santa in history a little bit, too, and find out a little bit more about how the Satan Clause came into the proposal of all of these things that we do at this time of the year, like many internationally famous individuals. This is from a sidebar of a local newspaper, Santa in History, by Brian Stewart. All right. Like many internationally famous individuals, Santa reached his greatest prominence far from the borders of his original hometown. He started in what is today the Middle East nation of Turkey as St. Nicholas, all right? The Archbishop of Myra. How he ended up at the North Pole as Johnny Old St. Nick is lost to the dry pages of history, yet unwritten and unlikely to be known. Of course, I grew up in Alaska and not far south of Fairbanks, Alaska, is North Pole, and you can go out to North Pole, and it's a place on the map, folks. It's a place on the map, and children from all over the world every year send their letters to Santa at the North Pole, and they get tons and tons and tons of mail, and they try and respond to the little wee ones with replies. And so you donate money to the cause so that you can pay for the postage and the little cards, and everybody gets a reply from Santa, and it takes a lot of work. But these people have been doing it for many, many, many years. But anyway, if you want to keep St. Nick alive and you want to know about the St. North Pole, you can find the North Pole in Alaska, just south of Fairbanks. Anyway, continuing. But let it suffice to be said that the red-suited one had to travel about as far as any person in history before he settled into his final career, right? And we know that how this final career came up, and you can go in and look at Santa Claus and see how he developed with Coca-Cola and all of the various and sundry merchants from Astor forward. Anyway, little is actually known about the historical St. Nicholas, and that's not exactly true. Some people feel that they have a real good handle on it. You might look, type in William Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R, William Federer, and I think he's recently posted on newswithviews.com an article about St. Nicholas and the history of that. But again, they say here in this article, little is actually known about the historical St. Nicholas, and we could say much the same about the historical Jesus, unfortunately. But the legends that surround him provide the template for the character we know as Satan Claus, Santa Claus. What we do know is this. He was born about around the year 245 A.D., 245 A.D., to wealthy parents. He devoted his life to the church, eventually becoming the Archbishop of Myra. He was tortured for his beliefs until Emperor Constantine changed the official religion of the Roman Empire to Christianity. And he died on December the 6th, sometime around 350 A.D. The Catholic Church has set aside that date as a feast day in his honor. They'll have a feast for about anything. But even much of this information is suspect. The main source is a biography that was written by a monk some 5 centuries after he died. And we could say pretty much that about most of what you find in the Bible, right? Unfortunately. I can say this thing. For the guy that's known as the Word, he was very, very light on the Word. Even though he was quoted in the Bible, that he stood up in the synagogue for to read, and he knew exactly what part of the daily, scripture to read, and stopped at exactly the right place to make his point, he didn't so much as leave a postcard, didn't leave a to-do list, didn't read, leave a letter to Mary and Joseph, something from Egypt, Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'm here in Camp Granada, and it's really fun. Nothing. So it leaves us just kind of scratching our noggins, all right? Let's go into this one. This is off the Judaism Online, the real story of Christmas. All right, take it from a little bit different angle here. When was Jesus born? Popular myths put out on December the 25th in the year 1 CE. Popular myths put his birth on December the 25th in the year 1 CE. Now that is mythology, largely. No one really does know if there was ever such a fellow as this in the first place. And then pinning down the date is tough to do. And there's a reason for that. We had a time change there. They say A.D. and B.C., before Christ and after Christ. Well, I just tell you straight up, if Christ was what Christ is, there is no before Christ. So A.D. and B.C. is a bit of a misnomer itself. But there was a time shift there, and it makes things for research really difficult. But this popular myth puts his birth on December the 25th. I don't think so. The Bible certainly doesn't put his birth on December the 25th. In the year 1 CE, and it could, many have said, as much as maybe a minus 6 or even further. So there's a time period in here that's rather cloudy. The New Testament gives no date or year for Jesus' birth. The earliest gospel, St. Mark's, written about 66 CE, 66 years later, begins with the baptism of an adult Jesus. This suggests that the earliest Christians lacked interest in or knowledge of Jesus' birthday. Again, birth dates were not something that people would celebrate. They would look to the martyrs. They would look to someone's death, not when they were born. When you're born, you haven't reached your majority yet. It's just kind of like it's the point of beginning. The year of Jesus' birth was determined by Dionysius Exiguus, a Scythian monk, the abbot of a Roman monastery. His calculation went as follows. All right, this is a little 5.6-point step here. In the Roman pre-Christian era, years were counted from Ab Urb, Constantia, the founding of the city of Rome, thus 1 AUC signifies the year that Rome was founded. 5 AUC signifies the fifth year of reign, Rome's reign, and so on. Dionysius received a tradition that the Roman Emperor Augustus reigned 43 years and was followed by the Emperor Tiberius. Luke 3:1-23 indicates that when Jesus turned 30 years old, it was the 15th year of the Tiberius reign. If Jesus was 30 years old in Tiberius' reign, then he lived 15 years under Augustus, placing Jesus' birth in Augustus' 28th year of reign. Augustus took power in 727 AUC, therefore Dionysius put Jesus' birth in 754 AUC. However, Luke 1:5 places Jesus' birth in the days of Herod, and Herod died in 750 AUC, 4 years before the year in which Dionysius places Jesus' birth. And it just gets worse and worse the more you study it. The deeper you go, if you want to spend many, many, many years of your life, go in and start studying the Bible. Joseph A. Fitzmyer, professor emeritus of biblical studies at the Catholic University of America, member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, and former president of the Catholic Biblical Association, writing in the Catholic Church's official commentary on the New Testament, if you're going to take that with anything more than a grain of salt, writes about the date of Jesus' birth. Though the year of Jesus' birth is not reckoned with certainty, the birth did not occur in A.D. 1. The Christian era, supposed to have its starting point in the year of Jesus' birth, is based on a miscalculation introduced in about 533 by Dionysius Exiguus. The De Pascha Computus, an anonymous document believed to have been written in North Africa around 243 CE, Common Era that would be, placed Jesus' birth on March the 28th. Clement, a bishop of Alexandria, who died in 215, thought Jesus was born on November the 18th based on historical records. Fitzmyer guesses that Jesus' birth occurred on, now get ready for this, folks, this matches my research, and I spent a considerable amount of time doing it. I was rather shocked when I read this morning. This is the first confirmation I've ever had. Fitzmyer guesses that Jesus' birth occurred on September the 11th of 3 BCE. And that's rather important. September 11th has a meaning for me that's different from a lot of people who champion 9-11, 9-1-1, 9-1-1. But if you look at the 9-1-1, the enhanced 911 system that we've developed all across this condition of emergency, this running state of emergency that we have, and September the 11th of 2001, there are new things happening in your mind, and you can start to see why it may have occurred on that particular date. Anyway, I'll just give you a little bit more now from this. How did Christmas come to be celebrated on December the 25th? Roman pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week-long period of lawlessness, celebrated between December the 17th through the 25th during this period. Roman courts were closed, and Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during the week-long celebration. The festival began when Roman authorities chose an enemy of the Roman people to represent the Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected a victim who they forced to indulge in food and other physical pleasures throughout the week. At the festival's conclusion, December the 25th, Roman authorities believed they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering this innocent man or woman. Nice people, the Romans. Ancient Greek writer, poet, and historian Lucian, in his dialogue entitled Saturnalia, describes the festival's observance in his time. And we'll pick up Lucian right after this.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
So if you really do want to be a 9/11 truther, you need to look into the truth of things a little bit more deep. I'll say it that way. Truth is a stubborn thing. It just kind of hangs in there and hangs in there and hangs in there, and eventually it'll hang you if you're not on it. But, as Aristotle said in his book, The Politics, titled Politics, they are originally based on a mistake. And as they begin badly, they cannot fail to end badly. It's in Book 5, Chapter 1, 1302 is the section. Very interesting. They're originally based on a mistake, and as they begin badly, they cannot fail to end badly. It's like getting off to the Keynesian economics school of thought. If you begin in an error, you'll never come around to the truth. The ancient Greek writer, poet and historian Lucian, in his dialogue entitled Saturnalia, describes the festival's observance in his time. In addition to human sacrifice, he mentions these customs: widespread intoxication, going from house to house while singing naked, rape and other sexual license, and consuming human-shaped biscuits still produced in some English and most German bakeries during the Christmas season. In the 4th century of the Common Era, Christianity imported the Saturnalia festival, hoping to take the pagan masses in with it. Christian leaders succeeded in converting to Christianity large numbers of pagans by promising them that they could continue to celebrate the Saturnalia as Christians. Remember from the Bible, they had this unnamed God. Man, this is the big tent theory. This is the all y'all come theory. If we don't worship the God you worship, no problem. We'll just name this extra statue after your God, right? It's the big tent theory, Roman Catholicism. The problem was that there was nothing intrinsically Christian about Saturnalia. To remedy this, these Christian leaders named Saturnalia's concluding day, December the 25th, to be Jesus' birthday. So by proclamation, you know, just some more holy bull. Christians had little success, however, refining the practices of Saturnalia. As Stephen Nissenbaum, professor of history at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, writes, quote, "In return for ensuring massive observance of the anniversary of the Savior's birth by assigning to this resonant date, the church, for its part, tacitly agreed to allow the holiday to be celebrated more or less the way it had always been." Oh, you don't have to change your habits, folks. Just do it under this name. Wow. The earliest Christmas holidays were celebrated by drinking, sexual indulgence, singing naked in the streets, a precursor of modern caroling, etc. The Reverend Increase Mather of Boston observed in 1687 that the early Christians who first observed the Nativity on December the 25th did not do so thinking that Christ was born in that month, but because the heathen Saturnalia was at that time kept in Rome, and they were willing to have those pagan holidays metamorphosed into the Christian ones. Because of its known pagan origin, Christmas was banned by the Puritans, and its observance was illegal in Massachusetts between 1659 and 1681. However, Christmas was and still is celebrated by most Christians. Some of the most depraved customs of the Saturnalia Carnival were intentionally revived by the Catholic Church in 1466 when Pope Paul II, for the amusement of the Roman citizens, forced Jews to race naked through the city streets and eyewitness accounts. Now, from this point forward, this particular discussion starts to decay. But, you know, the next thing you know, we're going to be talking about Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust. So it's from one facilized to another. And then it continues and it closes. So I'm going to pass on that. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, there's an idea that I've been following for years, and I just recommend that you consider it in your own research. Whether you follow it precisely or not, it's immaterial. But it certainly has been useful to me. With the advent of modern word processors, it makes the process of creating and keeping and maintaining a copybook wonderfully simple. As you go about your browsing and your studies and your research on various and sundry things, you might open up a special file in your computer and title it something, whatever is appropriate, something you'll remember easily. And then when you find quotations, quotable quotes, and suitable this and suitable that and links and whatnot, you just go into your copybook and drop stuff in there. And I use Word as a word processing tool, Word. And so inevitably, I type all of this stuff. I used to just type it all whole cloth, you know, just right out of the books. Very careful. Very careful. It's one of the problems that I have when I go to this old computer, because I've included Hebrew and Greek and everything you can imagine, all of the symbols, everything from the old dictionaries, everything from the old writers, just exactly the way I found it, so that I would come back to it and I could know reliably that I could quote it absolutely as a reference in a work. If I was writing something, I would be accurate to the period or the comma, all right? So I don't change things around, but I'd use Word and I would reformat it into words. So if you're working on the internet and you're copying, pasting things to your copy book, it helps to simplify by converting everything into Word so that you can get it. I don't know, I use Times New Roman for everything. Just as a typeface, it's easy to read. It prints out well. And so I've got in front of me here something that I burned out years ago to send to another radio host that was inquiring into the stuff that I was discussing, an 85-page copybook of mine. And these 85, 8.5 by 11 pages, you know, you could just fluff it out a little bit, and it's a book. It's a book waiting to be published. But really, all it is just copies. It's just quotations from various and sundry sources, whole articles out of encyclopedias and dictionaries. But again, I'm just going to say this. Lead me into truth and keep me from error, my daily prayer. It is certainly difficult, after 2,000 years or more of societal conditioning, to find truths and discern falsity. Recently, while taking my midnight hour walk outdoors, bathed in starlight, a night just prior to the new moon, and thus absent its reflected sunlight, I was blessed with the following thoughts. And then I'm going to spare you for this, but basically what the rest of this was that we're always caught up in this discussion about the evil being darkness and the good being the light, and being led into all the light and the light and the light, you know. It's like a bunch of masons sitting around sharpening their square and polishing their plumb bob. But anyway, truth actually is an antonym of false. They're opposites. And if truth then be as light, then could false be as darkness. Only then. Whereby the absence of truth, thence must be at the absence of light. Yet truth is a discerned product of reasoning, notwithstanding those truths known or unknown, discovered or yet to be discovered, that are the natural laws that control the operation of the universe, whereas light is a phenomena relative only to an observer's capacity for sight, ability to see. You wouldn't even be able to discern light if you didn't have eyes that could see. But we talk, we base everything upon light, you know. May we consider one's searching for truth to be an inquirer, to equate an inquirer's positional relationship relative to a point upon the surface of our planetary home, a rotating spheroid, and that point's rotational relationship, either in or not in, illumined by or not illumined by the expanding ball of luminous radiant energy or light emanating from our solar sun, is, at best, a primitive and supernatural theological or metaphysical conjecture, and at worst, an absurdity. So what I'm saying in that thought is that when you're standing in darkness, you're on a rotating orb. At the very time that you're standing in darkness, someone else is standing in the light. And if you just give yourself 24 hours, you'll be back in the light again too. So right and dark, good and evil. Absurdity. Light, so-called, emitted from a campfire, candle flame, oil or gas, lamp, electric light, globe, lightning bolt, etc., equated with truth, is meat for the initiate, the ignorant and the unlearned, the stuff of mystery Babylon. Right? Darkness is similarly relative. On a clear and so-called moonless night, the collective starlight is sufficient illumination for one to move about, aided only by natural eyesight. In a cave, a tunnel, or an enclosure, however, dark is relative to the observer, the scalar relationship of the observer to the atomic world. How long did people live at peace with creation, not afraid of the night? Who or perhaps what sowed the seed that converted an intelligent, alert respect for nocturnal creatures and dark places into fear? And correlative notions of the bad or evil things of the darkness. Things do. Things bad can happen in the dark, you know. You could have a cave bear that's sitting right outside of your cave, and if you go out to pee, you could be somebody's breakfast. Well, we'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And so, welcome back to our Friday, December the 24th, 2010, Christmas Eve, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now into our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We're coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And in the first hour, just kind of started niggling around here a little bit, as long as we're going to observe Saturnalia, a Roman pagan festival, run around naked, get drunk, and be otherwise intoxicated in all manner of foolishness. We might as well go into philosophical, radically profound thinking. But as we're coming up on the top of the hour there, coming into this break, just closing out, a little bit of a thing came to me one night, taking my evening walk prior to going to bed, midnight. And closing it this way, truth is truth. No. The bright light of truth is allegorical. It's scarcely analogous. Figurative, historically semantic, poetic, yet patently fallacious. The bright light of truth. You bring a flashlight or what? The truth is truth, and light is light. Out of the darkness and into the light, forsaking falsity, seeking out the truth. Oh, yeas be yea. Our nays be nay. Beware the leavening of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, for a little leaven doth leaven the whole lump. One of the most profound things about darkness, being on this planetary home that we are, and the gift our Creator blessed us with of sight, is the ability for us to stand in that, what do they call it, a penumbra, it's that cone of darkness. When our position on this rotating sphere is directly opposite the sun, in that very deep cone of darkness, where with the gift of sight we're able to look out upon the heavens. And if that's not enough to give you a heads up about your, the insignificance of the 5'2" eyes of blue, Gucci, 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 goo man, then nothing is. If that won't get you in the mood or awe of the magnitude and the majesty and the mystery of creation, well, I don't know what would. And so a lot of the things of churchianity have always been related to and associated with darkness. They just don't ever get you up to it. You know, you rarely ever see all the engines sitting around a campfire in the middle of the day telling stories, and the shaman stays in his tent, you know. It kind of loses its savor unless it's dark out. When it's dark out, all the little ones come in. When the squaws move in close, and everybody sits around. And all the braves, not so brave, they want to be right up front near the fire, Hold their axes and their spears and shake them and stuff. But it's at that particular time that we need to understand there's three basic kinds of people in this world: liars, cheats, and thieves. But when I say that, a liar... A liar can be worth his weight in gold. They can also be a real annoyance. They can be an abuse in a group or a community. But a liar can be worth his weight in gold if he happens to be a storyteller. And when you're in the mood for storytelling, a good storyteller always lets his audience know he's about to go into telling stories. All right? You've heard it before. Remember that time long, long ago and far away? All right. Now everybody knows the storytelling lamp is lit. Now we want to be entertained. Okay? And in the process of entertaining, you can bring in all kinds of morals and dogma and all other sort of things like that, and it's okay. But when you happen to be standing there trying to conclude a transaction with one of the merchants of Venice, and you just happen to notice that he's got his toe on the scale there, at that point, lying can be a real problem, honest weights and measures being essential. So we just go through and take a look at some of the stuff that, has come up in this copybook, and hopefully you'll find this material interesting, at least.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for 2 people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, let's go back into a little bit further detail of this. You know, Christmas has always been a holiday that was celebrated carelessly. And for a millennium, we see the pagans, Christians, and even the Jews have been swept away into the season's festivities. Yet very few people ever pause to consider the celebration's intrinsic meaning, its history or its origins, and this seems to be the way it is with all these merchant man's holy days, which is why I generally, stay as far away from them as I can. 1931, the Coca-Cola Corporation contracted the Swedish commercial artist Hadan Sandblom to create a Coke-drinking Santa. Sandblom modeled his Santa on his friend Lou Prentice, chosen for his cheerful, chubby face. The corporation insisted that Santa's fur-trimmed suit be bright Coca-Cola red, and Santa was born. A blend of Christian crusader, pagan god, and commercial idol. Let's know what we do. Raise our children up properly in truth. You know, maybe this will be the year that you'll begin to tell the truth to young people, so that we can put an end to this merchant's man's holy day once and for all. In my opinion, you do what you want to do. As Christendom bludgeoned its way across Western Europe, winning souls for Jesus and laying waste the cultural beliefs and lifestyles of the white people, a mental and spiritual darkness followed in its wake. For all life became brutish, hard, and short under the scepter of the Catholical metaphysical feudalism, from those according to their ability to those according to their might and greed. Following centuries of development, the Shemitic Moors and the Hamitic Carthaginians poured into the Balkan regions, driving before them the remnants of the Greek and the Roman civilizations, and the period of scholasticism began, followed by humanism and the period of the Enlightenment. And we're talking about light and dark. The enlightened ones. Before plunging into the stream of light, perhaps we should mind our elders and begin our inquiry by simply consulting the dictionary I wrote. Of course, we will benefit by using their dictionaries, as modern ones have been tainted by the logical positivist, the historical revisionist, thus sanitized and no longer certain contain strong meat. And so after my walk, having had this, you know, profound thought, and I came in and I started in upon this little study, and like I said, it's some 85 pages long now. But to illumine, it's transitive verb, to illumine or to illuminate, illuminant, giving light, illuminating, it's any material used for illuminating. Illuminate, to supply with light, or make luminous, make perceptible, to make clear, elucidate, to adorn with festival lights, light up brilliantly, to decorate with ornamental colored letters or figures, as to illuminate a manuscript, to make illustrious or renowned. Illuminati. In general, those who have or profess remarkable discernment, sometimes used satirically. In early church usage, baptized persons to whom in the ceremony a lighted taper was given as a symbol of spiritual enlightenment. Curious. Illuminati. As a noun, Illuminati. Here's another sense. Anyone of various religious sects, such as the Hijas in the 14th century, the Alumbrados of Spain in the 16th century, the Guaranets of France, or Guaranay of France in the 17th century, also the Rosicrucians in the 15th century. It's a select, secret deistic and republican society founded by Adam Weishaupt at Ingolstadt, Bavaria in 1776, aiming at the emancipation from despotism, also called perfectibilis. The perfectibilis. Right out of a dictionary. Not just any dictionary, but a dictionary nonetheless. Illumination. The act of illuminating, or the state of being illuminated, a lighting up, on fire for Christ. You ever heard the phrase? A lighting up, illumination, especially for festal purposes. Are you going to the Christians burning at the stake tonight, honey? The volume of light thrown upon an object by a luminous body, like a Molotov cocktail. Specifically, the density of light on a surface per unit area, like Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Mental enlightenment, Karl Marx, right? Imparted light, Leon Trotsky. Spiritual enlightenment, George Orwell. The specific doctrines held by the Illuminati. Embellishment of manuscript with the colors and gold, or a particular figure or design in such ornamentation. You've seen the very interesting Celtic books that are illuminated so beautifully with the Gordian knots and other things. That's also known as illumination. You can see the word illumination has many senses. Illuminative as an adjective, having power or tending to illuminate. Illustrative, relating to the adornment or decoration of books or manuscripts. An illuminator, one who or that which gives light. Are you an illuminator? to the people around you? You take all this information and shove it under a bushel basket and keep it by the bed, or you put it up on a lampstand and let people understand that you know something they need to know soon. Specifically, a lamp or a lens for throwing light on particular objects or places. One who executes illuminations on manuscripts. Incidentally, did you know that King James I of England was a prolific writer of prose and poetry? He had beautiful handwriting, and he illuminated all of his own works. He was also fond of men. Lord Villiers, Buckingham, was one of his favorites. Of course, you could see homosexual, but that would be a different study. Illumine, verb, to throw light upon, to make or become bright, enlighten. Illuminism, the principles of the Illuminati. The Illuminist, one aspiring to or claiming high spiritual enlightenment, one who professionally illuminates manuscripts, etc., an illuminator. Illuminist, one of the Illuminati, again, hechast, a noun. Quietist, that's another study, especially one of them of a mystic and quietistic sects that originated in the Greek church among the monks of Mount Athos in the 14th century, the hechasts. Deism, a noun. The belief in the existence of God as the source of finite existence based upon the testimony of reason. For that, you might want to check on Immanuel Kant. With disbelief in revelation and the supernatural, natural, see August Comte. The dogmas of Christianity, natural religion based on reason, an English rationalistic movement of the 17th and 18th centuries, the belief that God created the world as a watchmaker fashions a watch and sets it in motion, but that thereafter it is subject only to the dictates of natural law, again, deism. In philosophical terms, a belief in a final cause that is not intrinsically complete and perfect, and therefore not a fitting object of worship. Deism. Thomas Paine, many said, was a deist. So were some of the other founders, and many other people as well, by the way. Dei gratiam, by the grace of God, Dio, Scottish, the devil, a mischievous fellow. What a devil. Enlightenment. Again, we're talking about illumination, the difference between light and dark. Is there truth in light and evil, or falsity in darkness? Is the good the light and the dark the evil? No. The Illuminati. The Age of Enlightenment. A designation for a period of great intellectual awareness and activity characterized by a questioning of authority, a creative interest in political and cultural matters, an emphasis on the experimental method in science. The term specifically applied to a movement that flourished in the 18th century, especially in France, where it inspired the skepticism of Voltaire, the naturalism of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and the sensationalism of Etienne Bonnot de Condillac, and the publication of the Encyclopedia by Denis Diderot.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet.
TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we can see here from this start that we've made so far on my copybook... that, you know, our inquiries begin with our thoughts. You know, as we said so many times in the past, you know, what is property? It's a man's thoughts and his ideas and all of his non-procreative derivatives of his life. You know, man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life includes his thoughts. And so you begin with the ideas. And it's out of your ideas all this stuff starts to flow. And so for me, I always go to the dictionary first. So I gave you a little bit here. We were looking at this distinction, this conundrum, this what it was a logical falsity about evil being dark and light being good, or that truth would be light and that a lie or falsity would be dark, and all of that nonsense. Insofar as that it's spatially relative and it only has to do with, you know, maybe somebody's fear of the darkness. Has little to do with truth or lie, you know, truth or false. Right or wrong, so on and so forth. And so in this process, and we go through this illumination, Illuminati, and all that. And it's going through that, as I have shared in the past, it gets you on the beam, it gets you on the track. You can go up on Wikipedia and you can type something in and it'll bring it right up for you, faithfully. You can go to a Wiki dictionary or some other dictionary and type some word in and it'll come up for you if you're anywhere close, faithfully, repeatedly. But what going to the books does for you is it gives you the bigger picture. You go into a set of encyclopedias and you start with an index, perhaps, or you just look up the word. You go into a dictionary and you're looking for it. I don't know how many times, perhaps it happens to you too. I go to a dictionary to look something up and something else catches my eye. And my God, if I hadn't written down what I was looking up, I may never get to it. It depends on whether or not you're an inquirer on this planet, whether you're a seeker, you know. Are you really seeking truth, or are you just kind of poking around? Do you really want to get a bear, or did you just want to walk in the woods? So we'll close out this particular section here. We're on page 4 of an 85-page copybook, and I'm just starting in. Just left the dictionary behind me, and I'll come back to it again in this work. But we left the dictionary behind. Now we're looking into illumination and enlightenment, those sort of words in the encyclopedias. Osmodius. Well, I should finish it out. Enlightenment, the age of. A designation, again, for a period of great intellectual awareness and activity. And it goes down and it says, and the publication of the Encyclopedia by Denis Diderot and Jean-Luc Ron d'Alembert in Germany, the figures most characteristic of the Enlightenment were Gottfried Lessing, Johann Gottfried von Herder, Moses Mendelssohn, In America, the movement is represented by the political concepts of the American Revolution and the precepts of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Paine. You probably didn't know that. I didn't. But then you underline that sort of material, and that then becomes part of your own newfound knowledge. The term is sometimes extended to include the physical discoveries of Sir Isaac Newton, Yitzhak Newton, and the philosophical theories developed by John Locke. So now we got John Locke, Isaac Newton, Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, plus a whole list of others in our study. And you can go from those names into the encyclopedias, look those people up, study them, get their books, and begin to read and find out more about it. And already you're embarked on what could be like a bachelor's degree or maybe a master's degree, or eventually, if you stuck with it long enough, you'd be a doctor. And they could call you doctor. Asmodeus or Ashmedai. In Hebrew demonology, the chief of the demons, occasionally identified with the prince of demons, Beelzebub. He figures largely in later Hebrew traditions, appearing in the Old Testament book of Tobit, as an evil spirit, possessed of great lust. He is represented as having loved Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, and as having slain seven men who were successively married to Sarah. Tobias, who intended to marry Sarah, succeeded with the help of the angel Raphael in exorcising the demon. Can you name all of the archangels? I believe there are seven. The Bible only lists a couple. Do you know the rest of them? Raphael pursued Asmodeus to the Upper Egypt. Certainly, if you want to find out more about those, you could go and study the Book of Enoch. He lists many of the archangels known in their day. But we don't get that out of the Bible. Raphael pursued Asmodeus to Upper Egypt and bound him, making it possible for Tobias and Sarah to live in peace. In Talmudic legends, Asmodeus is brought into association with Solomon, who he aided on occasion, notably in building the temple. He is also regarded as the cause for the excesses which history ascribes to Solomon. So we got this demon, Beelzebub, helping out Solomon to build his temple. And people want to see Solomon's temple restored, right? Buddha, or Gautama, Buddha, 563 to 43 B.C., the Indian philosopher and the founder of Buddhism, born in Kapilavastu, India, near the border of present-day Nepal, the son of the head of the Sakya warrior caste, the head, the son of the head. Well, he was named originally the Prince Siddhartha. Oh, yeah, a lot of good stuff in Siddhartha. Later in life, he was known as Sakyamuni, the sage of the Sakyas. Probably blowing that for our East Indian listeners. The name of Gautama Buddha is a combination of the family name Gautama and the appellation Buddha, meaning the enlightened one. So you go in and start finding out more and more about, what is this, illumined, illuminati, illuminists. How long has this gone? We've picked up the Buddha, the enlightened one, the warrior caste. We've picked up Beelzebub here. We picked up Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, right? Okay. So now let's go up to Massachusetts and pick up Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Oh, good morning, Will. How's it going?
Well, it's going quite well.
Well, Will, when I heard you talk about Christmas, I knew I had to call in and put in my 2 cents. Number one, Christmas is a funny holiday because people get into all kinds of crazy debt on Christmas. I mean, really crazy.
Isn't it amazing?
We're talking break the bank kind of debt to buy these presents that will be thrown out in the trash the next day or will be returned. And you know what the funny thing is? You look at other holidays, it doesn't matter what holidays they are around the same time, like Hanukkah, Ramadan. I mean, look at these other holidays. The people who celebrate these holidays are very modest. I mean, extremely modest, which is smart. And if a person is to celebrate Christmas, they ought to at least be modest about it.
Well, look at it this right. Look at right now, Jeff, with December the 25th, I believe, is the first day of Hanukkah, the 8-day celebration. So you go back to the merchants of Venice, you know, wouldn't it be to the merchant man's holy days, wouldn't it be to their convenience and to their advantage if they could convince the stupid, dumb sheeple and the goyim to rush around and spend every penny that they have at the end of the year just before they pay their property taxes and go into debt to the merchant class? Wouldn't that be kind of clever?
Oh yes. And again, you can't fault somebody for smart marketing.
That's
but
right.
but the thing is, let the buyer beware. In other words, I don't celebrate Christmas. I know what it is. I've done my homework on it, and so forth. And people who don't do their homework on it, well, you know, too bad for them. I mean, you know, you can't blame the merchant. Really, I mean, it's just smart marketing. I mean, I used to work in a toy store around Christmas time, and I'm telling you something, a quarter of the sales go for all this junk around Christmas time. I mean, if people all of a sudden stop spending for Christmas, this country would go in a tailspin. And you know, Christmas does have pagan roots because drinking, drunkenness, rioting, I mean, all this crazy stuff. And New Year's, what's New Year's saying? Getting drunk, getting hammered. Even if you don't know the roots of it, I mean, that is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in a nutshell. Getting drunk, getting hammered, and waking up next to a woman you don't know.
Maybe doing things that you know really will put your spiritual nature in jeopardy too. So just hang on right there, Jeff. We're gonna go into a break here, and we're gonna come back after the break with Jeff in Massachusetts, Jason in Minnesota, and your calls 866-841-1065.
Cutting Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we go back up to Massachusetts and visit again with our friend Jeff. Jeff, you know, as you're going into the break, I was thinking in my mind, you know, about this insanity, really, that comes out of these merchant man's holidays. But, you know, if there were any veracity or any truth, and I'm not questioning anybody's belief or asking anyone to believe, you know, in something different here, if there were any veracity or truth in the stories, you know, in the Bible, wouldn't you think that it would be appropriate to at least look to that particular time, the correct time of the year, which can easily be discerned by Bible reading?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, Jesus was not born on Christmas. That was a Roman pagan holiday. He was born before it got cold out. And also, too, here's another couple of thoughts. And you'll like this before I go, because I know there's another call on the line. First off, and this has to do with Christmas. When you watch videos of young women, they always say they want a man who is intelligent and funny and everything. Oh, no, money has nothing to do with it. But try saying, I don't celebrate Christmas, or you say something controversial, and look at the looks you're going to get. That's number one. And number two, the funny thing is, when you walk inside a store, especially where I live in the ghetto, and you see all these people standing in front of the line with their WIC cards, their food stamps, and so forth, with their carts filled to the brim, while little old me lives a very, well, somewhat frugal life, you know what the picture is. The Christmas has become so entwined in society, so intermeshed in society, that women whip the men, and I'm not going to use the first word because it's a bad word. Women will whip the men into going into this crazy debt, and the man will say, "Oh my God, I spent all that money with interest and debt and everything," and the man will have a Freddie G. Stanford heart attack because you see the younger women are materialistic. That's
well,
a fact.
That, you know, that's part of a. It could be part of a actual physical nature. All right, something that's part of the natural laws as it works in the life of a female, for instance, because they, you know, they're the nest builders. You know, they're the ones that like to fluff and squirt and around. Anybody's ever had hens, you know, raised chickens or been around, you understand anybody's ever seen a female dog. I could use the other word, but I won't. Might be children listening this morning, getting ready to give birth, or you watch a hog, you know, piling up the hay and stuff like that. You know, when we get in, they build their little nest. They make they can turn a house into a happy home. And so part of this comes in nature. It's just like the plumage on fowl and fish and everything else. There's a difference, you know. This idea about equality, that's all just been forced on us, just like this religion has. But, you know, the idea is, in a way, that this just it just plucks it internally at the right place in the mind of a female of the species to be a nest builder. And I can tell you the difference between being in this particular house that I am in right now, after my mother passed away and I liquidated her estate, versus the level of austerity that I live in it today, I can see the difference, you know. So, yeah, there's a big difference. If I had a homemaker in here helping to make this a home, it would be a home. But as it is right now, it's just a house, a place I do my studies in.
same with me. And you know what the funny thing is, Will, which is when this country becomes communist and these younger women are really materialistic, I mean Americans and Americanized women, you're going to see women dump good men and go out with the foreign troops invading this country and the communists and the state quislings and so forth. And this is happening in third world countries around the world. Welcome to the third world order of Massachusetts. Will, I thank you very much and have a nice Christmas.
You too, Jeff. Thanks for calling in this morning. And let's go right on straight up to Jason in Minnesota, 10K Puddles from the chat room. Good morning.
Hi, Will. How's it going?
It's doing fantastically. And yourself, sir?
Oh, not bad. Just trying to stay warm here in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota.
Frostbite Falls.
A little pun from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Okay. Well, what have you found?
All right,
for us
as
today?
I... Well, you know, as I've listened to your show over the last couple, I think we're going on a couple of years now, it dawns upon me that all this information, you know, what do we do with all this information? What do we do? And so what it does is it gives us choices. And so as I'm thinking here this morning, I reflect back upon the show X-Files. And one of the shows that I had saw in the very beginning had a very nice poetic moment. And so I'd like to share that with people because I think it gives us a very good insight as to, you know, what kind of life do we really want to have.
Okay.
And so here it is, X-Files, I believe it's season 7. Time passes in moments, moments which rushing past define the path of a life. Just as surely as a lead towards its end, how rarely do we stop to examine that path, to see the reasons why all things happen, to consider whether the path we take in life is our own making or simply one into which we is closed. But what if we could stop, pause, to take stock of each precious moment before it passes? Might we then see the endless forks in the road that have shaped a life, and seeing those choices, choose another path?
Well, that is definitely that is definitely the way that life has been in my experience. One thing, you know, as I've said many times, and you've heard me say it, Jason, is that choices have consequences. You know, therefore, we need to choose carefully, and yet at the same time, we live our lives in a random process, mostly. Very few people ever sit down and actually plan out, like next week or next year. Here we're coming up on the new year. Very few people in America and around the world will actually sit down and consciously lay out a framework for where they would like to go, the places in their life where they might be weak on one thing, overly strong on another, ways to rebalance their wheel of life, if you will. You know, we've got cultural, we've got spiritual, we've got moral and ethical, we've got financial, we've got family and home, we've got physical and health. There are various places that we can look at in the wheel of life, but all too many people in their experience put all their eggs, let's say, in one basket. And if you can think of it as a wheel of life, that particular spoke is so pronounced that they roll along and they get around to that spoke and then they stick in the dirt right there. And so they spend their whole life upside down on that particular spoke. And unless somebody, you know, comes along, or unless they're fortunate and pushes them a little bit and gets them off that high center, their life isn't balanced. It's like a tire, a wheel on your automobile that needs, you're going to need to take it to the shop and get it spun balanced, get the lead weights put on it, get it to roll smoothly again. So we live this kind of a linear experience with all of these various branches and forks. But because we don't do any conscious effort, you know, we put nothing into the planning of our life, we live it, well, like some would say, synchronistically. Certainly my studies have come that way. I didn't set out to learn one specific thing or something else. It's just that I've followed this path. And by, like I've said before, you know, always seeking the truth and to be kept from error, interesting things have happened. But without some kind of a conscious plan, we can only just be the product of circumstance.
Yes. And what I feel badly about is the people who are just going through life, they're drifting with their eyes closed.
Very much so. And unfortunately, and of course, the stores are going to make great hay with this drift because of they have their eyes, as Vicki Davis uses in the chat room, their eyes are wide open, but the information that's coming into them was not of their own, choosing. Everybody's gone out to the stores, you know, and they're buying all of this material stuff to fulfill this materialistic lust that was built into them from before they're born. And they're buying all of these things that they've seen on television, and if they see other people, you know, we always talk about keeping up with the Joneses, but really, at the end of the day, all of the material things that you can acquire aren't really going to be satisfying. If we can learn anything from studying, you know, Blank, Fine, and Cohen, and all of the rest that are in the daily news basket on Bloomberg, if we can learn anything from them, we should be able to look and see that a life given over to materialism translates into power, and then the only thing that's satisfying in their life is their ability to power and control over others. And so, you know, you can live in total simplicity, in abstinence and in poverty, you know, chastity, and have a blessed existence on this planet, at one and at peace at all times, and it doesn't require any cashola at all. Stay right there, Jason. I'll bring you back after the break.
All right.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so if you'd like to call in this morning and get your ideas out to the audience before we depart for this holiday weekend, you're welcome to do so. The call-in number is 866-841-1065. Jason had to boom out. He's got a newborn baby at home, and he's doing the best thing he can do, which is being daddy. And I appreciate him for doing so. Always a good call, though, and always a good chatter, and I enjoy getting his emails, too. A very, very interesting man, one that's definitely pursuing the... coming into new truths and knowledge on his own, and I like the method that he's using. Back to our discussion, I'm in a particular spot now in this copybook that's difficult to take on in a 15-minute segment. I almost feel obliged to leave it right there and come back to that later. Let me see if I can jump ahead. Yeah, okay, we can do that. Let's jump ahead. Let's go to jump ahead and pass over. I wanted to start a section that I titled The Frankus. And I'll save that for another discussion because it's very important information and very few people listening have any knowledge of it again. But in all of this process, it's not that you can't find this information for yourselves readily enough on the internet and then follow them out, track them out, go into the rabbit hole as deep as you like. That's not the challenge. The challenge is knowing what word to put in, a word or words to put into your Boolean search. If you don't know that something even exists, how would you look it up? You have to stumble on this stuff, and the stumbling upon is one of the greatest blessings for years and years and years of study. All right? It's the things that you've stumbled upon, the things that by, you know, whether synchronicity or whatever words you want to use to it, fate or whatever, that you are led to in your inquiry. If you're always seeking the truth and that's always on your mind, then truths just start to appear. And you can, with this power of discernment, your ability, the antennas of a discernment run all the way up, you can see various falsities and truths inside of things that you read. So, jumping back again now, let's pick up Rhode Island. I'm going to leave off this whole section on the Frankus and the Shabtaians. Rhode Island, officially Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, was the smallest state in the Union. Rhode Island has an extreme length from north to south of 48 miles. Of course, we go back and look at this Gustavus Myers and his history of the great fortunes, you know, American fortunes. We can see the beginnings of the various colonies and study each of them out. And we study it out not only from the standpoint of, oh, okay, this is Rhode Island, Rogue's Island, but we also look at the people who settled there. And we find all the time, over and over and over again, about this brass ring of power, reaching into power. When the material things in life are no longer satisfying, you want more of something. And inevitably, it leads to a desire or a quest for power and control. Again, religion of Rhode Island, according to denominational data, there are about 109,500 Protestants, 466,000 Roman Catholics, and 23,200 Jews in Rhode Island. That's quite a few Jews, by the way. It's almost a disproportionately high. We found when we were looking at Bernard Baruch that he traces his roots back up to this Rogue's Island. It was kind of a special haven, kind of a special place for the pirates, those that are involved in the rum trade and the slave trade and the ivory trade, Ivory Coast trades, and those that are involved in the coasting trades, etc. So this is a rather large number, 466,000 Roman Catholics and 109,500 Protestants, looking back to the Ku Klux Klan, or the Klan, originally. They were opposed to the immigration of Jews and Catholics. Very much so, very much, very strongly so. Even more so than the negatives on the Negro, the freed slave, if you will. The history, Roger Williams, who had been banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony, established the first settlement in Rhode Island at Providence in June of 1636. You need to go back and look at Roger Williams a little bit. He was banished. On land purchased, and you might as well put that tongue in cheek, from the Narragansett Indians. Portsmouth was settled 2 years later by the Antinomians. Antinomians. Who were they? Other religious dissenters who had been banished from Massachusetts. In 1663, Charles II granted the Confederation the Charter of Rhode Island, the Charters, etc., and Providence Plantations. A property qualification for suffrage was added in 1724, so they just barely got started here, some 60 years later, in order to vote and attend these deliberative assemblies, if you will. They threw in the property clause, right? You had to have a property, you had to be a property holder in order to vote. And this is the beginning of the lengthy tale that we learned from Gustavus Myers. This became a real issue, and it still is a real issue. At the turn of the century, the colony had gradually become more of a commercial center than an agricultural community.
Newport was a large shipping port and the center of trading activities with the West Indies and Africa. Molasses was imported to the city and manufactured into rum, which was exported to Africa in exchange for slaves. And remember, we studied from Myers, and we understand that when the gaols and the poorhouses of England and Wales and Ireland and Europe, Western Europe, were incapable of supplying the need for lots of people. Got to have lots of people when you got lots of land. You got to have lots of people to make wealth. Land, labor, and capital. Adam Smith. Got to have lots of people. They weren't able to get enough people to come over here, white folk, Europeans. And so, at Rogues Island, they started this new trade, this West Indies and Africa trade. Molasses was imported to the city and manufactured into rum, which was exported to Africa in exchange for slaves. The slaves, in turn, were sold in the southern colonies and in the West Indies. And so there were things that could be purchased all along that seaboard. This is called the coasting trade. And so they would just, these pirates, these sea captains, these admirals, they would just sail this to this circuit. And they would make money in every single step of the way. It's like a bad drug deal. Somebody starts out with pure cocaine or heroin, and by the time it gets to the poor guy, the junkie in the street, it's basically Drano. Or something less, milk sugar. So continuing along now, the slaves in turn were sold in the southern colonies and in the West Indies. The city was also the headquarters of smugglers, pirates, and privateers. And if the biography of Bernard Baruch is correct, you know, he's the descendant of one of these privateer pirates and slave traders. What is antinomianism? Antinomianism. In fact, if you're studying Christmas, you put that into your Boolean search, you're going to have a hard time. But if you're in a encyclopedia or even a dictionary, you might find that almost immediately after Christmas comes Christology. Christology. That is a far more interesting study than Christmas. Antinomianism, the doctrine that faith in Christ frees the Christian from obligations to observe the moral laws set forth in the Old Testament. Right? Christmas, you could say, celebrates the birth of the Christian God who came to rescue mankind from the curse of the Torah. It's a 24-hour declaration that Judaism is no longer valid. Might be some truth to that. The insistence in the epistles of St. Paul upon the inadequacy of the law to save and upon salvation by faith without the deeds of the law, in other words, faith without works is dead, or works of righteousness, could easily be perverted into a claim of freedom from all obligations to obey the moral law. You know, then we get Aleister Crowley, right? Aleister Crowley, do as thou wilt, for it is the whole of the law. Freedom. Freedom from all obligations to obey the moral law. We come back into the Hobbesian, all men at war against all men state. It is highly argued that in a highly spiritual matter, such a doctrine might be joined with most exemplary conduct, its believers doing right, not because they were commanded, but from a devotion of heart higher than any compulsion of law. Can we live without law? We can, if we hold this higher level that was suggested by this antinomianism. But with all the gross and vicious natures of the doctrines of exception from obligation to obey the moral law, it would mean the freedom to disobey. Choices have consequences. Freedom is a double-edged sword. It was out of the abuse of freedom that man collectively chose liberty instead. And this is that dog collar fastened around the neck of freedom and hooked up to a leash. Well, hope you have a wonderful day today and tomorrow, and then I'll be back again on Monday, and until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.